Are you able to like talk and do stuff?
Yeah.
Like I feel like if I'm talking, whatever I'm doing is suffering, you know? Like I can't do two things.
Well, whenever you talk and that's all you're doing, I'm suffering.
Ah. Got him.
No, I can typically talk and
all right, this is our last episode, everybody.
I've noticed I can't listen and do stuff though.
That too. That's hard. That's,
sometimes I'll just be like listening to a podcast or something when I'm doing like yard work. And I just like, I zone out like to what I'm listening to.
I really have to like fucking focus because I'm not like working very well if I'm listening to a podcast.
Dude, I cannot do that.
And if I'm like running out of time, I need to lock in. I'll put on some music where I can't really understand what the words are, you know? Because if I can understand the words, I'm thinking about what they're saying.
There's just like sick Japanese artists I've been listening to. Masayoshi Takanaka. Oh my God. Vibes are incredible.
Is that the Chainsaw Man dude?
No.
No.
Doesn't seem like that.
Well, there's like the guy who did like the score for the movie.
I don't know who that is.
Ah. I can figure it out. For some reason, I always tune into that.
Yeah. It's very upbeat, cool vibes.
Kintsugi Ushio.
Wow.
Fire.
Very different name. But I can see how you'd get that confused, Daniel, because it's just kind of the person you are.
I'm not too familiar with the surnames, you know. What kind of music
one
is
Japanese
what
man.
Kind of music is the stuff that you're listening to?
It's like upbeat instrumental stuff, kind of, but there's some, I mean, they're singing a lot of it, I guess, but it's just kind of like
I just stumble over calm. Very funky.
Yeah, that's where I was looking for. Funky.
Yeah.
A lot of funk to it. And I'm like, this it's very euphoric.
Love some good funk.
Yeah.
This is a podcast.
This is not a music podcast, Daniel.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Rage Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers. We read comics.
We read all of them.
We read all of them. We're on our way to reading all of them.
That's our goal here. We'll stop when there's none left.
Yeah, and I'll shoot you and you shoot me.
I'll shoot myself and hopefully it'll get to you.
we'll put our heads together.
Mm-hmm.
We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Lobo. We also have Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. Do you have any news?
Did anything even friggin' happen?
Nah, really. There's like two newses.
Well, I don't even know if I have any. Yeah, I don't think I have any. What do you have?
You know the comic That Texas Blood?
Yes.
That is, there's like a TV show that's like in development for that.
Is that Jacob Phillips?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Condon, maybe?
That sounds right.
Yeah, I always saw that. And they're always advertised in the back of like Ed Brubaker books.
Right.
So, that's cool. I guess it's a Western, probably.
It's being adapted in a TV show?
It's like, yeah.
Or the rights got picked up or something?
Picked up, being developed, you know, who knows how far that would get.
Where's Criminal?
Okay, so Sean Phillips, he posted something a couple months ago. He's like, stop asking about Criminal. I don't know when it's coming out. And then yesterday, he's like, all right, I know when Criminal's coming out, but I can't say.
Oh, okay. at least there's a date.
We have to wait for Amazon. There is a date. No one knows it though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, that's good.
It was like, it seemed like it was going to be at the end of last year and perhaps it could be the end of this year, but I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm going to try and watch that with Sophie. And then if it's good, I'll tell her it's a comic at the end.
Ah.
And see what the reaction is.
But what if like there's like, what if there's
based
like,
off the comic?
Yeah.
Well, then I'll be like, oh, really? I'll play dumb. Be like, Ed Brubaker, he's probably like some nobody.
It's a dumb name.
They probably will say that because they're very...
Like Ed Brubaker likes old movies and he likes the where they have like the credits at the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
So it's very possible.
And if it's Prime, they've been pretty good about saying it's, like comics people
it's
on
It's normally
there.
Like in the end credits though, like for like the boys, it feels like...
Yeah. Well, it's whenever they're giving credit in general, but it's a part of it. It's like one of the first credits that they give. So,
right.
That's cool.
We got covers for the new Archie books coming from Oni Press.
Neat.
And W. Maxwell Prince is not on the main book.
Nathan. What?
Yeah, it's going to be written by Ben H. Winters.
He sounds like a bitch.
Yeah, I'm like, who the fuck is that guy? And I guess there is some sort of scheduling issue.
Huh. Because so, he's on Dead Man? Is that why?
Perhaps. Maybe.
Maybe that got extended and ongoing, or it's going pretty well at DC or something? Maybe
Ice Cream Man doing well. I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems odd. I think Maxwell Prince still has like a full-time job, you know? Or maybe he's doing this full-time now. But mm-hmm. I know that was like a thing for a while when he was doing Ice Cream Man, like only.
Right.
So, whatever. But when you have like guys like James Tynion or whatever doing like 5 or 6 books.
I know,
you
know? So I've never heard of that being like, oh, the schedule didn't line up.
Only for art.
Yeah, for art, because they're
gonna do like
yeah, because that's like book. Actually full time. But you know, remember Chip Zdarsky is doing like 5 books at a time. You know,
yeah,
like Donny Cates was doing that at 1.2, and Tom King. So it feels like they always just like say yes until.
In my head, I like to think like whatever he was pitching got like too weird.
Who? Had
Maxwell Prince.
I like to think like that
I
too.
Don't know if this works.
I like for to think Archie. That yeah,
like you can't kill Archie. You know. Like, God damn it, I can try.
You can't make him a murderer.
Yeah, so. Archie can't be the new Ice Cream Man.
Dude, that would, whoa, the crossover?
Crossover.
Ice Cream Man Archie crossover would be so good, actually.
Yeah, he just comes into Riverdale.
Yeah, and he's just, and then you see Archie, like, walking up to him.
And he gets eaten by a spider.
Yeah, whatever happens in that book. I still don't really know.
That's all I had. Do you have anything?
Not really, dude. Was there any trailers? There's a Wolverine like game trailer that came out. It seems pretty gory.
Yeah. Right.
What's this Dark Horse?
I keep seeing clips of the game. Dark Horse Union?
Yeah. What was that about?
So like I think there's like a bunch of layoffs because I think Dark Horse was bought by a company and the CEO had been replaced, and this guy had been like the CEO like since the company's like inception.
Oh wow.
So with the buyout, I think they're getting some new guy and layoff, so the remaining employees have to
keep up that work.
Unionizing, so
okay,
which is good
for them.
I think there's a way to support them. I'm not sure how, but
totally,
if you're interested in that, Google it.
Yep, Google it. But yeah, I didn't see any other news.
Okay. What book did we read this week, Nathan?
We read Lobo, his like first original or his first solo series.
Yeah.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even have it pulled up. Give me a second.
It's called Portrait of a Bastiche. It is by.
Do I even have it downloaded on my phone?
Keith Giffen. Alan Grant dialogue. Oh, interesting. Simon Bisley. And Christian Alami on art, Todd Klein letters. So Keith Giffen did plots and breakdowns, which is something he does.
Yeah.
Laverne Kinzierski and Danny Vazo on colors.
I think because this is technically like 2 trades.
Yeah, he's been reprinted a lot of different ways. This is just one that had the first 4 of his run in 1990. And then there's another miniseries called Lobo's Back.
Yeah.
Right after that, that's also collected in this.
Right. So we did the first 4.
Right. Oh, I think this trade is called The Last Zarnian or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm. The Last Zarnian.
Yeah.
This is pretty interesting. I think Alan Grant's fucking awesome.
He's awesome to look at.
He's so cool. I think like definitely holds up. Like if this came out today and like maybe the colorist like did a little bit more traditional to now, this would like hold up and be pretty fun.
So Alan Grant did the dialogue. Is that what you're referring to? Or are you talking about Simon Bisley and his punk rock artwork?
You're right. Sorry. Alan Grant. I saw Keith Giffen first, I'm assuming. But yeah, Simon Bisley is the one that did the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, very like Sam Keith or like Bill Sienkiewicz, it feels like in there, which really works for Lobo.
Yeah, I definitely feel the Sam Keith
inspiration or
I don't know. I feel like that around this time they'd be working around.
I think
at the same time.
I think so. But there's just like the same sort of flavor.
It's very like scrappy.
Yeah, you know? I don't really know how to like even describe it.
It feels kind of like an indie comic. Like it's not quite like the DC, you know, flavor, I guess, of artwork. Mm. It seems like it could be like a Vertigo book.
Yeah,
you
know? It's very like, yeah, like scratchy metal.
All I can think is punk rock.
Yeah, it's so, it feels punk rock. Even though he's a very metal looking guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you could say if art looks metal, you know.
I sure can.
it does in this for sure. So I enjoy that.
You know, it feels like it's like a heavy metal.
Like, it does.
From heavy metal.
If heavy metal like made a superhero, it would look like Lobo for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And I've never read a Lobo story on its own other than the Scotty Young one that like just came out, but this feels like exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. And I like Lobo.
I wasn't necessarily surprised by how this went.
Yeah.
You know. Do you like the name Lobo for like what this character is?
You think it sounds too cute?
Yeah. It sounds like it'd be a name for like a bunny.
That is a good name for a bunny. You're totally right. You know, I think it's just so associated with this, but yeah, it doesn't sound like it makes sense that he's a Zarnian, you know, because it's like a C and there's a Z in there, which is like kind of edgy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then he's like,
silent letter is so edgy.
Yeah, I'm a Zarnian. My name's Lobo. So
this book has like chapter breaks in it, kind of. In addition to the issue breaks, which is nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, like, there'll be, like, just little pages of stuff.
That of, like, an autobiography?
That kind of just break down, like, what, like, Lobo's deal is, you know? I only read, like, the first one.
There's, like, one at the end that I read.
Some are, like, report cards, you know? Because Lobo went to school.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun little anecdotes, I guess, of Lobo. Right. Which is pretty cool. But yeah, let's get into it. So, issue one, Lobo gets a call from Vril Dox, who's the leader of Legion, to go to a planet and escort a prisoner back to Cairn, which is where the Legion headquarters is. But he doesn't tell Lobo that the prisoner is another Zarnian, and it's actually Lobo's bitter old English teacher, Miss Tribb. And so after meeting with Miss Tribb, Lobo discovers that she is the author of a Lobo biography book that slanders Lobo's character. And so he already hates this person a lot. And on the way back to Cairn, they stop at a space gas station and Lobo has to fight some guys that are trying to hurt Miss Tribb. And then they continue on their path. But I don't really know much about Lobo, but at the end of this, there's some back matter. So he like killed his whole planet, his whole home planet. He's like was just born evil. He's always been kind of evil, but he just kind of leaned into it. And now he's a bounty hunter. And now he like apparently Zarnians used to clone or like replicate themselves. They can just do that.
They used to live in like utopia where like there was no like crime and stuff, and everyone was nice or whatever.
And then Lobo just fucked all that up.
Yeah,
and I think that's cool. It's like Superman, but if he did it,
right?
And so there's not supposed to be any Zarnians, but I guess Miss Tribb was off planet when he did all that. Mm. So this is a surprise that there's another Zarnian. He's got a sick ass motorcycle.
Yeah, space motorcycle.
Yeah, I love that shit. I love that he's talking in space and stuff too. Like it's very comic book logic, but like it's got a big skull on the front. You know what I mean?
First page, space dolphins.
Yeah, space dolphins. That's cool. I think those are like his pets.
He's got pet space dolphins?
Yeah, it's like having a dog, is I think what they say in the back matter.
They just follow him or something?
They just chill at, I guess this is what he considers his home, whatever this is.
Mm.
And Miss Tribb's design looks exactly like what a space English teacher would look like, I think.
A space English teacher.
Like, just her design being like the big dress and like those glasses that are like kind of funky and they go really wide.
It looks something like a character from like Courage the Cowardly Dog.
It does. So that's true.
It doesn't look very space-esque to me.
Yeah, it doesn't look very space-esque. But if it was like an alien English teacher, I think they nailed it.
I like her glasses.
Her glasses are sick. I think it kind of looks like an English teacher that I've had before.
Probably.
And so I'm like, yeah, they nailed that.
It's always the English teachers, you know?
Yeah.
I guess there's a... So he's a bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And he always... Part of his code or whatever is that he always keeps his word.
Yeah, he always does the job.
So he's told not to kill whoever he was, you know, escorting.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though he really wanted to kill this lady for many reasons, he did not.
Yeah, he cares about completing the job right. more. Daniel, I love a space gas station.
So
they're so cool to me. And this one's called...
Oh, yeah, it just says gas and eats.
This one's called Scarf and Barf.
Good one.
Which is like very crass sort of comics. So I kind of appreciate that. And it feels very light, right for a Lobo book. But like, you remember the space gas stations in like Futurama?
Yeah.
It'd be like such a, or like they were like diners, it seemed like, but yeah.
I like how you like, there's like an Elvis guy at the gas station that's mm-hmm. like gonna hurt the old teacher, and Lobo just gives him a kiss.
That's very, he does give him a smooch, huh?
Yeah.
That's nice.
He's just very,
using his words.
Unpredictable, chaotic kind of guy. Do you think Jason Momoa will pull this off?
I think so.
Seems like his personality is kind of already kind of Lobo, you know, yeah. Just without the homicidal.
If he tunes up the unhinged, I think a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and it's only a little bit, which I think is good. But I think it'll be, yeah, he definitely looks the part. And I think, yeah, his personality is pretty, like, Lobo-esque. And I think he's been wanting to do it for a while.
Yeah, it's like, apparently, seems like it's been his purpose or something.
It's feels way better than Aquaman, that's for sure.
Yeah, I did like him as Aquaman, though.
Yeah, I think his Aquaman's pretty good. It's like a good modern Aquaman, but I think he'll be... I think he'll be able to have more fun in, like, a Lobo role.
Definitely. This Lobo design seems like it's more... Like, his hair is more spiky, you know?
I think I've always kind of seen this.
I think like later it seems like it's kind of more long than anything.
Like long and...
Long and back.
And back.
You know?
Okay, yeah, I see that. Do you like it spiky or do you like... what I like about this is it kind of looks like a lion's mane or something.
Yeah.
And so he seems a little bit more wild. When he's on the space bike, it just seems like he's going really fast, even though I don't know if that's how it'll work in space. There's just no like wind resistance necessarily, but...
The hair, I don't really care too much about, but I do like the mustache.
There is a mustache.
Well, I guess it's kind of like a chin.
He's got like facial hair.
He's got like a handlebar beard or a chin strap beard. I guess it's a beard. Never mind. But it seems like his mustache is pretty defined.
Yeah, the mustache seems like he works on. And his outfit in general is cool. I like how he has like a chain wrapped around his arm.
I don't like that.
You don't like that?
It's kind of corny.
You think so?
Like, it is 90s, and it works for that.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand that there's a hook attached to it, and he uses that.
Right.
So, my favorite part is he has, like, a cropped leather jacket with one of the sleeves cut off.
It's only one sleeve?
Yeah. So, only one of his arms.
Oh, my God. I didn't even notice that. That's so funny.
Look at this.
Dude, I feel like that style is going to... be in eventually.
We could do it now.
We could start it. We could start it and kill it before it becomes a thing.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I didn't even just notice
your,
it was
your
just
favorite
the one
arm.
Dude, his arm is so buff. I also love it when an artist does like a really super buff forearm and it's like hairy. Mm-hmm. I feel like I just see that a lot.
Yeah.
You see it in like Wolverine and shit.
Lobo's just one of the biggest guys. It feels like.
So yeah, and then issue two. Great covers, by the way. These like painted covers are so awesome.
Oh, they're the best.
So Lobo stops at a hotel to call.
You know who did those?
I think we looked it up, didn't we?
Mm.
It's Simon Bisley, but somebody else colors. Or somebody paints it, I think. But Simon Bisley, or maybe he's the one that paints it.
I'll look it up. But the trade cover is by Simon.
Mm-hmm. But issue two, Lobo stops at a hotel to call Vril Docs with like an update. He's bringing her. And Miss Tribb disappears, so Lobosta uses tracking powers to hunt her down, and he finds her that she was taken to a ballet performance by Gus, who's one of the hotel workers. And so Lobo kills Gus, and then the performers end up being like called demolition dancers, so they're like violent ballet dancers. So they all fight Lobo and lose. And then there's also this group called the Sons of Lobo, who I think are like a fan club. They find out that a group of police and a group of angry truckers from the space gas station are trying to hunt down Lobo. So the Sons of Lobo decide to help.
Yeah, Simon Bisley did all the covers.
Really? And paints it? That's cool.
You know,
I would assume if he's the only one credited, then it's probably...
League of Comic Geeks is always kind of fuzzy on all the details when it comes to covers.
Right. Yeah.
But, so he does... So he has like his own... language when it comes to like cursing, which is like kind of his gimmick.
Fraggin.
He'll say fraggin, and he'll say I guess bastage. He doesn't really say that, but that's just the name of the trade.
I think he says that. I've heard him say it at some point, but I think of
you. Oh yeah, you heard it, Nathan.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
bastiche. he'll probably say it in the movie.
Are the comics talking to you, Nathan?
Yeah, they're talking.
You listen to them.
That's how. Like ingrained I am. That's how locked in I am.
And so I guess he does actually curse because there's panels of him and it's like the, you know, the symbols.
Yeah.
Like censoring whatever he's saying.
Mm-hmm. I think so, of space cuss words, this is the least cringe way to do it. Like fraggin, I think is fine.
Yeah, you get used to it.
I don't like the Guardians one that's like flarkin or something. I can't remember what it was, but I remember I was like, that's lame.
When it comes to like dialogue quirks, I like it way more than like Bizarro, who always is saying like the opposite of whatever he means.
Yeah, that's true.
That it's like super old really fast.
Yeah, because you have to interpret like what he's trying to say.
And so you're saying he has tracing powers?
Yeah, he has.
Or is he just really skilled at it?
No, he like actually has powers for like tracking people down. Anybody that he's like met in person, he can track down if he wants to.
Yeah.
And so that's how he's able to find Miss Tribb pretty quickly, because I don't think the first place he would look is a ballet performance, but he goes like straight there. And when he's on the phone with this Viril Docs person, one of the lines he says, he's talking about Miss Tribb, and he says, folks that frail should be drowned at birth. And I'm like, that's a funny line.
Bold take.
Yeah.
Well, he kills literally like everyone on the planet, so when going for morality.
I don't think he's a great guy necessarily. What is this like graffiti of Earth bands? Did you see that?
Graffiti of Earth bands.
Yeah, like there's.
I saw a lot of band t-shirts.
Yeah, there's like Slayer and Motorhead. And I don't know if these are other ones.
Did he put those there?
I don't think so. I think they're just there.
He's not like.
So maybe like people know ball in space?
I guess so. Maybe there's no metal in space.
Maybe not. I don't know. Like, is Savage Tree Frogs on Speed a band?
I don't think so, but...
How do you spell crew?
Crew? C-R-E-W?
Oh, wait. I'm thinking of Motley Crue.
Oh, that's C-R-U-E.
Well, there's a crew, but there's no Motley there.
Oh.
But yeah, the Slayer one seems like it's...
I think I know who they're talking about.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And like, there's like a big scene later where there's like a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And they have like band t-shirts on.
Yeah. So like, what is that about?
Hell yeah, dude.
I guess radio goes way further than we thought.
Dude, I'm like, dude, I could like cosplay as like one of these people. No one will get it.
And then at the end, when he picks up Miss Tribigan, he cuts off her legs. I thought that was crazy.
That was nuts.
They grow back, apparently, because she's Zarnian. But yeah. It takes a while, I assume. So he's like, yeah, I'm just going to cut off your legs so you don't run off again.
So Lobo's got a insane healing factor where he can like regenerate from just like...
A single cell.
A single like drop of blood or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So if all Zarnians can do that, how did he kill all of them, you know?
I think he blew up the planet.
Well, then, and they can breathe in space, so when they just, I don't know, regenerate or something? Or is it so much of a blast that all their cells are like...
It's a good planet. Or, that's a good point.
I'm sure maybe they dig deeper on that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, if you don't read, like, the little chapter breaks that have all this, like, exposition, then it's a pretty straightforward story.
Yeah.
Overall.
It's just he's
But if you do want a lot of that extra background, and that I think it's good for that.
Yeah, I think it's also supposed to be like Miss Tribb's book. Are these page breaks? Because she wrote the biography of, or like the unofficial biography of Lobo.
I think that's just kind of a biography. Do you need rights to write a biography? Like,
no.
You need, like...
Well, that's a good question, actually.
Because autobiographies is if they wrote it.
Mm-hmm. But biographies, you write about somebody else. But if it's somebody that's still alive, I think then, you can do that.
Then there's memoirs. I think that's the same thing.
It depends.
And there's tell-alls. And I guess that's the same thing,
too. I don't even know what you're saying to me right now. I don't know. I don't know.
Because
I know there's like an...
If there's like a biography on like Hitler, it's not like they got approval
from... Well, he's dead, but Hitler's family. I know that there's like a biography, an Elon Musk like biography that came out like a couple years ago before he was like super weird.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were buying it, but it wasn't written by him and he didn't have any input. So I wonder, and it's got his face on it. So like his likeness is on the cover and it's being sold. And so I wonder if there's like some sort of agreement or something.
But I don't know.
I don't know. But.
So he's got a fan club. He's got some police people.
Yeah.
He's got some bikers or something.
Yeah.
They pissed off at the gas station. And then this like group of like old ladies who are just very proper or whatever in our the Legion of Decency.
Yeah, Legion of Decency. They're just like a group of boomers that have nothing better to do, it seems like.
Yeah. And they're like, all after him.
Yeah. Yeah, Legion of Decency, the Oneida police SWAT team, the Sons of Lobo, but they're trying to help, and the trucker convoy are like all going after Lobo.
Yeah, I got the truckers and the Sons of Lobo mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until like now that I'm like, oh, these are different people.
I can only tell when they have like Lobo on their
forehead.
On their like forehead, pretty much. I'm like, oh, these are the fans. And like, does Lobo know about them?
Probably.
I'd assume so, but I don't know. He doesn't seem like he associates with them very well. But issue 3, it's revealed that Viril Dox was counting on Lobo getting pissed off and actually killing some problematic groups so that the Legion didn't like have to worry about them. But now they're all on their way to Legion HQ, which is like a problem. So he was kind of counting on pissing off Lobo to the point where he gets rid of some problems for him. And then Lobo and Miss Tribb are ambushed and they're taken hostage to participate in a spelling bee by a literature group cult that kills you if you spell a word wrong. And so there's a bunch of aliens there. Lobo and Miss Tribb manage to make it to the end and Lobo breaks free and he escapes with Miss Tribb. And then Lobo takes Miss Tribb to a vacation planet. But the other like third parties are still closing in. And like, this really took a turn in this issue.
That was really fun.
It's really funny. And I like that.
Lobo, I was like, I don't know a lot of these words. I would die.
I like that Lobo happens to get words that he knows because they're like violent words.
Yeah.
It's like mutilation or genocide or whatever. And I really like this cast of aliens like designs that are in there. They're just like really goofy looking, like this hunchback dude all the way on the right.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what? So
it's funny to see like when the artist is just like getting like, I don't know, but like getting lazy or something, but just
kinda
doing some simple stuff.
Yeah. And like, it's funny seeing them, you know, seeing this alien trying to spell curmudgeon and he's like really struggling. He's like sweating and stuff. It's very emotive and fun.
He like messes up a guy. He just goes like, gah! And then that's not a letter. So they're like,
nope, kill him.
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
I like this panel where like there's some tech dude that's working for the docs dude and he's like just like looking up at him. He's like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's the spelling bee cult people are very, they're wearing the pointy hats and I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah. very clan-like.
Yeah, very clan-like, but they're just brown coats. If they were white, it'd be like, why is the KKK here?
They are very specific about the type of people that they like.
Yeah.
Mostly well-educated, but...
In these page breaks, we get report card, which is fun.
He's got like a Gene Simmons tongue.
A what?
Like a Gene Simmons
tongue. Oh, yeah, he does.
He's like, eh.
Which came first? Probably Lobo, right?
Before Kiss?
Before Kiss, I think.
No, this issue came out in 1990.
Good point. When was Kiss? 70s?
Yeah. 70s, 80s. Let's find out.
Is it Gene Simmons inspired? I've never like connected this in my head.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, what's that one album? It's like Destroyer. Yeah, Destroyer came out in 1976.
Damn, they're old.
Yeah, pretty old. It's like, you know, hair metal time.
That's true. And then issue 4. So Lobo broadcasts to the vacation planet that he's going to kill everyone on the planet, and it causes like a big panic, but that's what he wants. And the Sons of Lobo follow the truckers that are entering the planet, but because all the groups end up evacuating, it causes like a lot of confusion, and it makes it hard for these groups to actually land on the planet because all these ships that are like leaving. So a lot of them end up just leaving in general, and they give up on Lobo. But Lobo also sneaks out during the confusion, and he delivers Miss Trib to Viril Dox to complete his deal. But then right after he completes the deal, he snaps her neck since he held up his part, and he can do whatever now. So he does that, and then he leaves. And that's pretty much the book. And I really like this riot, like a double page spread with like all the people that are like trying to get onto a ship or whatever. And there's people being like flung in the air for some reason. I just like crowded scenes like that.
Everyone's like, I'm the pilot.
Like a big, I think I'm starting to appreciate like a big dog pile page, like a Frank Miller dog pile page or something like that.
This is insane. Imagine how long that takes.
It's absurd. And one guy is wearing a Ramones shirt.
Yeah.
Which is cool. But yeah,
there's a guy with like a Batman shirt earlier.
Yeah, there was a guy. So I appreciate stuff like that more and more. I'm like, wow, that must have taken so long to create a bunch of distinct alien people.
Chief Dox has like a wide array of employees because he's also got this like robot monkey gorilla guy.
Yeah, he's got a big robot. Well, that's just Legion. Like Legion is its own team.
Legion. Okay.
Yeah. At first I was like, Legion of Superheroes?
Yeah.
But in the back matters, it has like a whole acronym to it. So, but it's separate from the Legion of Superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed seeing Lobo in like a Hawaiian shirt and like a backwards hat. Mm-hmm. I thought that was fun.
You know, cool cosplay?
Yeah, that would be a deep cut. Like, where would you even get these like green and bright blue striped shorts?
You get a hat that says Pain, but only on the back. You know, and he wears his hat backwards. You have to get a custom hat for that one.
And you got to get like a smiley face pin. And they mentioned this Tom Johns Appreciation Society. Like I've seen, for some reason, like this name Tom Johns is like a couple times in this issue. I don't really know what that means or what that is.
I didn't pick up on that.
And I enjoy that he's like drinking Mai Tais. He's making a Mai Tai for Miss Trib, or he's drinking them himself.
Yeah.
But yeah, very abrupt ending. As well, because it's like, here's Miss Trib, snaps her neck, and then the book ends on like one or two pages. So, I mean, I don't really know
where this is supposed to go. Yeah, he finished his bounty or whatever, and
he's like, that's it.
This dude was just so stressed out by Lobo the whole time. I'm not even sure why he was listening to him.
Who?
The Chief Dox.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, what does he have, like, does he owe him, or does he have dirt on him or something?
He does. There's a reason why Lobo has to like work for them. I saw it somewhere. Oh, and the back banner says, through machinations of Viril Dox, Lobo is honor bound to work with the licensed extra governmental interstellar operatives network, otherwise known as Legion. So he like has to work for them for some reason.
Do they turn they turn Lobo into a girl in the next run?
Do they really?
Yeah.
Damn, she's bad as hell.
Hear me out, dude.
Girl Lobo.
Do you think that'll happen in the movie?
I hope so.
Dude.
Who do you think it would be?
Oh my
Still Lord. Jason Momoa.
Look at these panels.
I gotta read this. Why didn't we read this one?
It's back better.
That's funny.
He's still got like one buff arm, which is really funny.
That's good. That's so funny. What? I wonder what the context is that turns him into a girl.
I don't know. He's a girl for a while. I was just like skipping to like back matter and I just saw a specific splash page.
Yeah.
And was intrigued. Sue me.
So let's get into back matter matters.
Back matter matters.
Not a lot.
It's just one page. It's like a character history and powers page.
Let me see what you get.
I just have this.
Oh, I don't have that.
What do you have? I have like one cover and then that.
I just have variants.
Oh, really? Well, I got the, you got the back-to-back collection?
No, I got the Portrait of the Bastich.
Ooh, okay. Gotcha. So but probably more in there.
Same stuff. It's really, I think it's just variants, so.
Well, I enjoyed this. I wish this was kind of done more because it kind of explains a lot of like his history and what a Zarnian is and what they can do. And so I learned a lot about Lobo just through that.
Yeah, I don't think a character should be like one that you read about, you know, like there should be stories that show you this history, you know,
like you get the context of his history.
Yeah. Not just like,
yeah, that's true.
Where he is now, plus some homework.
Yeah. But this isn't like an incredible book.
But yeah, but maybe like, I mean, you get the vibe of Lobo. You kind of, it's like fleshed out or something.
Yeah, true. But it also talks about his tracking ability in this. So that's where I know that.
Okay.
Lobo's uncanny tracking ability helps him locate any prey. He usually, I think it said somewhere, it's like anybody that he meets. But so yeah, what would you rate his book, Daniel?
I'd give it like a Cutwater Mai Tai.
Mm.
You know, get you where you need really quickly.
Straight to the point.
Yep. No fancy shit. Comes in an aluminum can, you know? Mm,
I like that.
Probably not as good as like a fresh Mai Tai or whatever, or a professional one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you get it. You get the flavor.
That makes sense. I would give it this black and white monster because it kind of looks like Lobo in a way. If Lobo made a drink, it'd look like this.
He'd love Monster.
Dude, he would love a monster. That's it. I feel like, yeah, this would probably be his energy drink of choice.
Hell yeah, brother.
So then,
hold on. What do you think is rated League of Comic Geeks?
So this four issues. People like Lobo, and if someone's going to rate a Lobo book, I think they like Lobo a lot. So I think they'd give this a 4.2.
It got a 4.0.
Okay, nice. I think that, yeah, sounds about right for this.
We actually forgot to do the League of Comic Geeks rating on Ghost Pepper. Did you want to guess that?
Ooh. 4.3?
That's correct.
Nice. Let's go.
So,
yeah, I know what the people are thinking. I'm tapped
in. Yeah, you're a man of the people.
I'm tapped in. What can I say?
What? Let's go into the poll list. Colin.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
I picked up Batman number 10.
Yes, sir.
Absolute Green Lantern number 15.
Okay.
And the Dead Man, most exciting.
The Dead Man,
most exciting drop today. I almost picked up another number one where it's like only the Savage survive or something like that. It looks pretty interesting.
Uh huh.
And I saw the letter that I like. I saw an Osman Alhau on it.
Ooh.
And I'm like, ooh.
Can't go wrong.
And I think that guy knows ball, but I was like, I'm just not gonna get to it anytime soon. So we'll see if it's good, I guess. But
yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, I just got Batman Deadman.
Yeah, I'm excited for Deadman. It feels like we just learned about that not too long ago, so it's cool that it's out.
You know, it feels right for it to be coming out now.
Really? Okay. You know?
Did you read anything?
I did. I read that Dungeon Crawler Carl zero free comic book day thing.
Yeah.
Do you want that back? I have it, but...
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get back to you.
The writer of that book is going to San Diego Comic Con.
That's cool.
I'm not going to get it signed by him, but like...
Yeah, me neither.
That's cool for people.
It's like a pretty popular book, like regular book right now. There's like a lot of them.
Yeah, I think that trade comes out in like July.
So it's not going to be released like in issues?
No.
Oh, okay.
OGN.
That's kind of cool. I thought this was a little obnoxious.
Yeah.
But...
I don't get it, you know?
It feels like it's just a worse version of Solo Leveling.
Okay.
Because at least in the show, I haven't read the manga. It's like kind of the same thing. There's like screens that'll come up and be like, you're a part of this thing now. And so I guess I see that. I'm interested to see like where it goes, obviously, because he's obviously entering some kind of dungeon. So it'd be kind of cool to see like dungeon monsters or whatever. And he has to fight them in his like underwear.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
Maybe it's just a lighthearted, like easy read, you know?
I think so.
And that just works well, you know, in literature or whatever.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
But like when it's given like artwork, it's just kind of, it feels like simple, you know?
Yeah.
It feels like it's been done, you know? But
yeah, that's what I got.
Maybe it just translates really well, like how it's written. You know?
Yeah, I think so. I'm sure it's a good book. Because I've seen a couple people that I follow actually read it and be like, this is pretty good, actually. Even some people that are like pretty critical about it at first end up liking it, so.
Yeah, it's like kind of like a male millennial trope right now.
Yeah.
So.
It feels very millennial.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read The Hab 1 and 2, which is the David Laffam book.
Mm-hmm.
And some other dude.
Bad Idea.
It's a Bad Idea book. Dude, I think Bad Idea is what Vertigo wants to be right now.
Okay.
Like, it gives Vertigo vibes because this is like pretty good. It's very long. Like both of those issues were double sized, I think.
Mm.
But it feels like it feels like I'm watching an HBO show. It's really, really? Cool. Yeah.
Is it about like rehab or something like that?
No, it's like, I think Hab is like habitat because it's about this rich family that goes into a bunker when like the world isn't like habitable right now. But in that bunker, people start to like have visions of things. And you think like, oh, they're just like having some weird like mental breakdown or something. But people are seeing what other people are seeing in their visions. And, you know, there's a reason for it that you find out. But it's interesting because I'm pretty like interested in a lot of the characters, even though they're just kind of like a rich family. Like you get some backstory on them that I'm like, okay. Like there's a fairly big cast of characters, but you're able to like keep them in line very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's pretty good. And
I think it's good.
I do think it's good. It's a little bit long. I don't know. Like, and Bill
you said it as if like, I think it's
no,
good.
I do like it. Yeah. I'm like kind of locked in when I'm reading it. And normally I think most lesser books, if they were that long, I'd be like, okay, come on, let's like get through this. Like, where's the interesting stuff?
Yeah.
But something about like what David Laffam does in his art, it's like, it displays a lot of emotion and kind of keeps you interested.
He does the art too?
He does the art. I don't think he writes it. It's some other dude that writes it, but the David Laffam art's pretty good.
I just said,
and there's a panel on here where I was like, I was locked into the point where I'm like visualizing it like as a TV show or whatever. And then there's a panel that pops up. And I'm like, that would scare the fuck out of me if I saw this as a TV show right now. So I enjoy it. I'm going to check out issue 3 because...
Joshua D's art.
Dice art, yeah.
Dice art.
And then David Laffam, Bill Sienkiewicz does like backup stories on him that are like kind of adding more context. And he's awesome. He's still in his A game. But yeah, it's a very good commentary on just, I don't know, rich families or whatever. So and how they'll do whatever they... will do to make a quick buck.
Mm-hmm.
I read Absolute Green Arrow 1.
I did not.
It's good.
Cool.
I think that there's a lot of ideas in there where I'm like, oh, of course.
Okay.
And I kind of like that. at least for like refreshing this character for like a modern sort of retelling, I'm like, this makes a lot of sense.
I saw Jack Quaid post a story about it. I'm like, this guy knows ball.
Dude, he really does.
He's like, Porn Sack Pacheco is like incredible. He's a genius.
Oh, wow. So he's like, probably read like Infidel, maybe.
Name dropped him, maybe.
Yeah, that's cool.
Probably Good Asian.
The Good Asian too, yeah. And then I read Invincible 28 through 30.
I'm still going with that?
I'm still going with that.
I thought that was like
a one-time.
A vacation fling, you know?
No, I mean, I still like it. And I've gotten to the... Where am I? He just came back home from getting Oliver.
Okay.
So still like season two, I guess, if you're in the show. But I see the first time where there's a big fight happening and he does like all... Ryan Otley, who's so, so good in this, does all the little panels, but then there's a big fight on top of the like little panels.
Yeah.
And I love that shit, dude.
Because like that there's happens like in Chew
sometimes and I like looking at all the little panels.
Yeah.
So those are cool.
Because there is like a... there's a, like a Viltrumite fight like on that planet.
Yeah.
In the end, right?
Mm-hmm. They're fighting. It's Mark and Omni-Man, and they're fighting like three Viltrumites mm-hmm. over the course of that.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. It's very bloody.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. What did you read?
You think you're gonna finish it? You're gonna just kind of...
I'm gonna chip away at it. I think probably. I wanted to read more, but the hab was like longer than I thought it was gonna be, so that ate up some of my time. But I want to like try and read like three or four issues every week, more even.
I was like, so that's like the longest run that mm-hmm. I read.
And how long was it? 140 some?
148 or 144?
144, I think. Yeah, it's pretty long.
And so
that's longer than anything.
And I think that'd be like the longest thing you've read probably.
Yeah.
Consecutively. And so, like, if you finish that, I'm like, what the fuck am I going to read that's longer than that?
It's a competition.
To be better than Nathan. I'm like, I have to read The Walking Dead. You know?
Yeah, I think you would. Because how many was that? Like, 180?
198, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm going to do that just to force you to read The Walking Dead, I think.
And I had to restart because I don't know what the fuck's happening where I was. Yeah. Know? And I really wasn't even following it, but.
Anyway. How long is Black Hammer? All of it.
Not that long.
Really? Like 40-ish, maybe?
It's like 12. It's like maybe 60 altogether.
Okay.
Well, all the spinoffs.
Yeah, with spinoffs.
Maybe 70.
If you're counting like Barbalian and the Justice League one.
That's like another 8. It's like 70, 80, probably.
Okay.
It doesn't feel like it's that long.
No, because it's broken up a lot.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
Is that what you read?
Yep. What'd you read?
I read League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, number 1-3.
Cool.
And...
Alan Moore and who?
Fuck, Kevin O'Neill.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's awesome.
He's so good.
He's got great Green Lantern stuff.
Did he do... Let me double check that's who it is. Because I even looked at it because I'm like, I knew you were going to ask. Extraordinary.
I might be thinking of Denny O'Neill.
Denny O'Neill probably did Green Lantern. He also did The Question.
Or Dennis O'Neill, I guess.
So yeah, Kevin O'Neill.
Okay.
Art. Yeah, he's awesome. It feels a lot like Gotham by Gaslight, because it's like, you know, late 1800s, you know, and like
steampunk feeling sometimes, or
yeah and it's not anything like the movie, which is cool. It's just like the characters are the same, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's like some more here, and it, for like something by Alan Moore, it flows so well. There's like almost no thought bubbles, you know, almost no captions. It's just dialogue, and then like it, and it's not dense or anything, and so I'm like, just having a great time.
Is this the one with like the characters that are existing in literature already?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never consumed anything League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Did you watch the movie?
No.
Yeah, you have.
No, I haven't.
I feel like it came on all the time.
All the time.
I think we watched that at Nana's house.
No.
You don't remember like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
I don't know who that is.
What?
No, I've heard those characters' names, but not in that movie.
Or Captain Nemo.
The fish?
Captain Nemo.
Mm.
Who else is in that? Invisible Man?
Like the regular one?
Yeah.
No, I don't know anything about this.
Oh, shit, dude, you should read it when I'm done. So it's weird, because like the trade's like a normal trade size, but there's like 12 issues in there somehow.
What
like,
the fuck?
Like, there's not any kind of like filler in this,
mm-hmm.
and issues are kind of like, they're like 32 pages.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was only 4, but then I'm like...
There's a lot left.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm not even halfway done.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, it's really cool. I like it a lot so far. League is kind of like one of those things where it's kind of like Dark Horse, where there's just like a bunch of mini series.
Yeah.
And so I'll see if I want to like kind of continue with it. But I think the main one is just kind of like the one people talk about the most, I guess. And then I read I Was a Fashion School Serial Killer, number 1-3.
The fuck is that?
So Doug Wagner?
Oh, this is someone new, right?
No, he's not very new. Or like, I don't know. New to us, I guess.
We talked about it.
Yeah, you know, did you ever see the book Plastic on the stands?
Yeah.
So the guy did that. The writer and Doug Wagner and Daniel Hilliard.
Oh, okay, cool.
So the number one for this came out last year, I think. And I bought it and I thought it was cool. But I think I enjoy, because I read Plastic and then I got this. And then he's got something out, coming out right now.
Mm.
But he's going to Phoenix Comic Con. And so I wanted to like kind of read this trade and then get the number one signed and then have something to say. You know, I'll be like, this is good.
Yeah, this is Comic Con homework.
Somehow I'm like, I can't lie. You know, I'll be like,
yeah,
this is good.
I would hate that.
Because then that makes me basically a scalper, you know, if I just get a sign and move on.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if he's necessarily that popular, you know?
Yeah, I know what that feels like, because I think it was last year, 2 years ago, Marv Wolfman was at Phoenix Fan Fusion.
Uh-huh.
And I got like a Teen Titans, like graded thing signed. I just wanted to sign on top of it because it was cool.
Oh, okay.
And then I just like realized I don't think I've read anything by Marv Wolfman. Like I've read that issue of Teen Titans just like a long time ago. That's why
I
read that
Chris Claremont thing. I'm like, this is all I have.
Yeah, I gotta show up with something.
Yeah.
I don't think, Chris, do I have anything Chris Claremont? I just know a lot about him.
Yeah.
And
I watched a YouTube series about you.
I literally did. It's literally like a Twitter account. The Claremont Collective or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And they're really good. And
you
I'm
know
like,
what it is?
Like, he probably does.
He's like, I don't know what Twitter is.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So yeah.
So that's kind of been my priority. So I've been reading that and it flows super well. You can like read an issue in like 10 minutes.
Cool.
It's like it's about this girl whose skin gets like really itchy. And so the only way for like her, for that irritation to stop is that she needs to take like blood baths.
Ew.
And so she'll kind of do like a Dexter thing where she'll kill shitty people.
Does it got to be like people blood?
Yeah, it's going to be like people blood.
Does so she then, try a different blood?
Then they'll skin people and let them hang over her bathtub till the bathtub fills up and then to take a bath and feel better.
How many people does that take?
I guess just the one.
Could I fill up a bathtub?
I don't think so, dude. Like,
I don't think so either.
I'd
get close.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, I guess there's 70% water and we're probably like,
fit in a bathtub like this.
That's what I'm saying. And like that, there's like bones and stuff in there.
Yeah. So if you take out the bones, I'm even less.
I guess it's enough. It seems like a big bathtub, like one of those ones with the feet, you know?
Yeah. Well,
I
think she just needs it on her skin. She could just kind of like roll around in it.
Yeah. Or like, you know, kind of get one of those brushes that you do for like
when you barbecue.
She bastes herself, you know? That seems cool. Pretty full. Like she like kind of slouches into it.
Oh, okay. Nice.
But she's also going to like fashion school.
Did she try a different blood?
Try a different blood.
Did she try like a pig's blood or
something? They might have mentioned that in the first issue. I just kind of skimmed that one to remember what was going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, and she's just going to fashion school, and then like there's like killings going around the school, I think.
That's not her.
It's not her.
This is like a Dexter.
Something like that, yeah.
That's cool.
And it's pretty good. I like it. did you watch anything?
I did. I've been watching the second season of Devil May Cry.
Oh, I saw that.
Because that came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I was like, is that second season?
It seems like that first season just came out.
It was like...
a year ago?
I think about a year ago. So they really locked in on this one. Or at least I watched it last year. I don't know if... I think it was new then, too.
Rolling.
Yeah, dude. There's still so much funny music in this.
Yeah, 2025.
Yeah, they're cooking. I don't know. It's not even like...
April 3rd.
Damn. So yeah, it was like about a year, which is kind of unheard of for...
What kind of fucking turnaround is this?
Crazy. Well, they kind of...
Is it a manga?
No, it's a video game.
It
says based off of like a video game series, but it's like... I don't know. I've never played the video game, but I know what it is. But Sophie wanted to watch it initially because there's like an Evanescence song that they made for it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, anime and Evanescence, that's like my two favorite things. But in this season, the songs that they chose are really funny to me. Because they got Getting Away with Murder by Papa Roach.
Okay.
And then they had the Bodies Hit the Floor song.
Oh, Drowning Pool?
Drowning Pool, yeah. And that was like during a big... Bodies. Yeah. They had that during a big like action piece.
I used to think that was like the best song of all time. Like when I was like in sixth grade.
And when it was like the most metal thing you'd ever heard.
It was, dude. Yeah. Like, this is the heaviest song ever made.
For the longest time, I thought that was a cover of a song. I thought it was a metal cover of a song that already existed.
I think you're thinking of Alien Ant Farm.
I thought it was like basically the same thing, and I didn't realize that it was their song until like maybe a couple years ago.
That's so funny.
And yeah, it was very strange realization. But yeah, it's very funny to like see an anime show that normally would put, you know, Japanese music or something in there, and it's just like some song that I listened to in middle school religiously.
Yeah.
And I just like those two things don't connect in my mind, so it makes me laugh.
What was really cool in like the last season of Attack on Titan, there's like a metal band who made like an Attack on Titan song based off like the, you know, the opera type parts or the choir parts.
Yeah.
And then they just made that song like the theme for the last season. Cool. Like for the intro, and it's really fucking
heavy.
Did
they make that song for the love of the game pretty much?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I assume so. I could be wrong about all of that, but
yeah. So I don't know. This show, I think it's just trying to tap into an American audience, because like the intro song of the last season was like Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know what the fuck is going on in this season really, but it's cool. Good action. And then I've also been watching Spider-Man Noir.
I just watched the first episode.
I'm only two in.
Okay. And
I watched the third episode.
Is it like, okay, I was like, I don't know why, but I was super baked watching this. And I thought it was so fucking good.
I think it's good. Yeah. I like it.
I think I was just like, it was doing the things that I wanted it to. So I'm like, oh.
It was what I expected, which is Nicolas Cage noir story. You know what I mean? And like Spider-Man's like involved. I think he's like putting his whole ass into it, which I really enjoy.
He puts his whole ass in everything.
He's doing this whole like detective, this witty detective thing where he talks really fast and he's got this like rhythm to when he speaks and he just says something that's really witty and funny.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I just like find myself laughing at how well he's like eating this shit up. You know what I mean? Because it's like kind of corny, but it's like supposed to be. And he's nailing that like this little balance.
Yeah.
Where it's like campiness and seriousness.
Like, cheesy in like a bad way.
No, it's cheesy in like a referential way, I guess.
Right.
Are you watching Black and White?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Dude, I watched it in Black and White, and Sarah's like, what movie are you watching? I'm like, this is a TV show.
Because it came up.
She's like, why is it in Black and White? I'm like, and then she was like kind of paying attention to it. I'm like, if you like it, because she hates Black and White things. Mm. I'm like, if you like it, you can actually watch it in color. She's like, why the fuck are you watching it in Black and White? I'm like, because it's fucking cool.
It's
a crime noir. Yeah. She's like, you sound like such a fucking nerd. She's really mean to me.
It is nerdy.
This like, and I think it's just 1,000 times. I've seen some clips of it in color. I'm like, yeah, colors are cool. But for this, I just need it in black and white, you know?
Yeah, I've seen actually, it's interesting because some
now
people
have the option.
Some people will like post which episodes in this during the season are cool to see in color or just like way cooler in black and white.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's kind of interesting too. I would never like go back and forth, but it's cool that some people have like watched it twice and thought like, oh, I thought this was better than this versus yeah, the black and white.
That's neat.
So I don't know. I think it's bold and I think it's cool that you have the option.
Yeah.
It seems like Amazon invested in like the interface to be like, do you want
color? It seems like a stretch to like only do black and white, you know, and get like a lot of people into that.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Know?
Totally.
But if anything, you could probably like just adjust the settings on your TV to make it black and white.
Yeah, but
and
who's
you
doing
watch
that?
Everything in black and white, you know?
But who's doing that, you know? And you'd sound like such a douchebag to be like, I actually wanted to see it in black and white, so I changed my TV settings.
This is how they used to watch TV.
I want them to serve it up to me so that I know that in some form or fashion, this is somebody's vision for this project, you know what I mean?
Did you ever watch the like the Logan movie in black and white?
No, I do want. I don't think it'd be as good.
Probably not.
Like, I like the idea, and I understand that it feels kind of like a Western type vibe in a way. But there's a lot to that in color that I think it
They did the first episode of The Walking Dead in black and white, too.
I could see that. But I mean, the comic is black and white, so maybe that's why they wanted to do that.
Yeah.
But I think it's good so far. There's, like, a lot of very interesting, like, little differences that...
How many episodes is it? 8?
It's 8 in total.
Yeah, dude, I'm surprised that they dropped it all at once. I'm like, I can't keep up with this.
Yeah,
I know.
I like that Winston is in it from New Girl.
Yeah, he's the best. Is his name Winston in it?
No, there is a Winston character in this, though. And I keep thinking that they're referring to, what's his name? I think his name's like...
Lamorne.
No, I know the actor's Lamorne Morris, but I forget his name in the show. Richard or something.
Ah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I like it so far. Apparently it gets... It's like it keeps the same energy throughout, so I'm excited to watch the rest.
That's good. I was afraid it might have been like kind of almost like a nacho series in a way, because I feel like sometimes pilots are super strong and the rest of it's just meh.
Yeah, I don't think it loses its
swag,
at least so far. Yeah, it doesn't lose. I don't get over like the idea that this is Nicolas Cage in a Spider-Man show that's in black and white.
Yeah,
like it doesn't lose its novelty, I guess, so far. I think some of his action, obviously, he's like a pretty old guy. So
right.
I've seen there's some scenes where he's like running and I'm like, that's pretty funny looking. But that's just me being a dick, I think.
Yeah, I'm just kind of happy that this happened.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
You know, and it doesn't suck.
Yeah.
That's kind of a miracle in itself.
I could see why some people wouldn't like this, but I like it for what it is.
They could have announced this and then just got canceled like halfway through, you know? So.
And I've been like, yeah. I also finished Expedition 33, the video game.
Is that the AI one?
There was an AI controversy on it, yeah.
Hmm.
But it won like 50 Game of the Year awards this year. Like all of them. Almost.
So you're saying is AI is here and you should just get used to it?
I think you're not going to avoid it. So you might as well just go all in.
Yeah.
No, I don't even know what the AI thing was, but you can tell there's a lot of love. And
I guess there was something about like the...
Some of the concept
or
art
or
concepts of it.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. It's a good number go up game, which is what I have
number
been
go up, like your rank or something?
No, like how much damage you do, pretty much. There's games where as you get better at it, the number goes up and you feel cool when you have a big number.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like pretty good at that. Although I will say it fucking pissed me off. I finished it yesterday.
Okay.
And it pissed me off because like, I beat what I thought was the big bad, and the game wants you to think that this is the big bad. It's this character called the Paintress. You kill her, you go into an epilogue, and I'm like, okay, let's see what this is. The game's very cinematic, so you're watching, like, some cutscenes. But you watch, like, 25 minutes of cutscenes, and then there's 4 more hours of game left in the epilogue. And so it really fucking, like, overstays its welcome way, way too much. And you fight an even harder person who's this character you've already fought twice already. And so you're fighting him for a third time.
That's their redemption arc for them.
No,
know?
It's not. I'm fucking killing him or something. Well, not really, because everything's in a painting, you find out. There's a big twist spoiler.
Bro.
I really enjoyed like the theme and the message of it, but I think they could have ended it way better and it would have been like a 10 out of 10 for me. But by the time I was done with it, I was just pissed off. Because all the enjoyment I could have gotten out of the game, I got by the time that I thought I was ending the game.
How many hours was like that first chunk, you think?
Before the first chunk before the epilogue?
Yeah.
The whole game I played, my total play time was one day and 10 hours.
Okay.
So what is that, 34? And I think the main game is probably, yeah, like 24 to 30 hours, depending on how... I chose a pretty... You can choose a different difficulty, though.
Right.
So if you're mainly just into the story, which I think is really strong and unique, there's even like a twist in there where I'm like, I never would have thought that they would go this direction. You know what I mean? So I enjoyed that aspect a lot. So concept, story-wise and gameplay-wise, it's really cool. It just really fucking sucks how it ends because I just wanted it to be over so bad. But good game.
Nice.
So I don't know what I'm going to start next. There's an Elden Ring DLC I want to play, or there's Dispatch, which is that superhero game.
I started playing that.
You did?
Yeah.
When?
Parker told me to play it like a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
And I only have like a couple hours into it.
Is it cool?
It's okay.
Okay.
I like the concept. I think the actual dispatching part, I don't really care about, I guess.
You just like the story?
The story is like the coolest part. Like, I'd really rather just... I mean, I maybe have like 2 or 3 hours in it, honestly.
Okay, gotcha.
Because I only slot out like an hour a week, honestly, yeah, for video games.
Yeah.
Like, the first hour is really cool. Just kind of the setup and stuff. But the actual game part that you're doing, I'm like, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like the mini games, and I think Parker's really trying. You know, he told me about that he played it.
Yeah.
He recommended it to me before he played it, and then he played it. He's like, oh, it's actually good, or whatever.
Yeah, he wants me to check it out, but I had it on my radar before him.
I think it's only really like 8 hours of gameplay because there's like 8 episodes or whatever.
I think there's supposed to be like seasons that come out. To
something like that. And so if it's just what it is for like 6 more episodes or whatever, I'm probably not gonna be stoked on it, but
I think it's more exciting.
Give it a shot. It's not that expensive and it's like pretty
low commitment. Yeah,
like I can kind of be like eating ice cream and then like,
yeah,
I'm like, oh, I need to do something.
yeah, that's a good point.
And then I bought Skate 1 on my Xbox, and that game is so good, Nathan.
It is good.
Dude, it's been so long since I played that like I just forgot the maps.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, entirely, practically. There's like some spots I'm like, oh, yeah. But most of it, I'm like, where the fuck is this going?
Can't you not get off your board in that one?
Yeah. But this game is so good that it doesn't even bother me.
Really?
Compared to Skate right now. Mm-hmm. It's so sick.
Like, yeah, it's very... Skate Now is different.
I'm audience. I'm trying to pick like a board sponsor right now, and it's the shit.
Oh, yeah.
You have to beat...
You're trying to get on skaters
at like whatever fucking spot they have or whatever, and then you get there.
P-Rod?
I haven't gotten P-Rod. Like, Chris Cole is like the biggest one.
Was Nyjah in that one?
I don't think Nyjah was in the early ones.
He was in 3 for sure, I want to say. Was Rob in that?
I just played 3. Rob's in the first one. I think he's in the first and second one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just like, just the vibes and the spots are just all like cool and like kind of practical, you know? And it's very janky. Like when you see like the replays of someone moving, you know, but just the challenges are just way more fun.
Yeah.
And I think I'll probably just be in like a loop of playing like the games that I played when I was younger and just do that forever.
Probably. Yeah, as long as you get enjoyment out of it, that's fine.
Yeah, all the enjoyment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I watched. Is that everything you watched?
No, I watched Obsession and Backrooms.
How was Backrooms?
Good.
Good?
It's good. It's
been seeing mixed reviews. Okay.
I will say, when the movie ended, I thought they were trying to fake us out because I thought I was only in there for like 45 minutes. I was locked in.
Uh-huh.
And I was convinced that like they were trying to fuck with us. So I like literally told people I was like, it's not over. Like for like literally like 2 minutes. And I was like, I guess it's over. But I liked it a lot.
You see it with Rina?
I saw it with Serena.
Nice.
Jackson and Sophia.
Nice.
And it's really cool. It's just a very unique type of horror.
Right.
And so there's parts of it where I'm like, this is fucking awesome. I never want this to end because it's cool.
Is it like the liminal space kind of horror?
It's liminal space horror. Yeah, okay. But there's a very big idea here.
Okay.
And there's a lot that's kind of up to interpretation that kind of gets your mind going about how this shit works.
Yeah.
And that's what I enjoy about it.
Yeah.
It's there's like two parts that are very like freaky. Like genuinely, and I was like, yeah, I heard "Holy there's only, like, two jump scares." Yeah, there's not. It doesn't rely on jump scares, but there's parts where I'm like, "What the fuck am I even looking at?"
Cool,
because it's really cool. It ends not very great, so I'll just say that.
Okay.
But very much worth checking out because it's just really well acted, really well. Like set pieces are really cool to look at. Makeup and prosthetics and stuff that they use is very well done.
Sick. 19-year-old director.
Yeah, it's not. Fucked up. What am I doing?
We're so fucked.
Yeah. But I've seen some of his backroom stuff on YouTube. He has like an episodic series.
Yeah. I have that saved. I meant to watch it, but
yeah, it's like definitely it's all like found footage stuff, which is cool. But
cool.
Yeah. I have like my own theories about how everything works in the movie. Me and Sophie were talking about it for like a while. So it's fun to like come up with your own.
Yeah. As long as it's just like backrooms, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's very genuine. Backrooms, as far as I know.
Cool. I watched Marty Supreme.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Sarah wanted to watch that one. Surprisingly.
Really?
Dude, fucking... like, it'll just be, like, the weekend, and I'll be, like, trying to tame Lucas, you know? And then I'll be in, like, the kitchen doing something, and then Sarah will just put on the movie, put on Marty Supreme. It's 8 a.m. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, what are you doing? I see Timothy Chalamet, like, what the fuck?
Oh, pause.
Like, let me get him.
As if she like she knows that you'd probably want to watch it too.
She knows I want to watch it, you know.
And she's like, oh, ours is good.
So the Safdie Brothers movies, they'll be like stressful, but if you want to watch that movie on hard, do it while like a one-year-old is screaming for your attention.
Very stressful.
While he's like trying to get money and his girlfriend's pregnant or whatever and blah blah blah. And I was just like, this is stressed out the whole time, but pretty good. I like that movie a lot.
I thought it was fine.
I'll probably like forget about it pretty quickly, but
I was looking at the Letterboxd reviews for it, and the one that made me laugh is like, never get in the way of a white dude trying to go to Japan. I was like, that's the best one.
Yeah. Then I watched a movie called Dead Man's Wire. It's got Bill Skarsgård in it.
Cool.
And it's about this dude in the 80s or something who like a dead man's wire is like some sort of like wire setup that's connected to like a shotgun, and it like goes around like someone's neck and the gun holder's neck, and so if the guy tries to pull away, the shotgun will go off.
Gotcha.
And so he just like takes this mortgage dude hostage and takes him to like his apartment, and it's something that happened in like real life, like back in the day. And this like mortgage company was just kind of like fucking him over on this deal that he had. And it's pretty good. It's kind of like a stick it to the man kind of movie. And it was kind of feel good.
Is it a Safdie?
No, I didn't know who directed it, but.
Why was it on like your radar?
I just had heard about it. I think it came out earlier this year.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought it was like a couple years ago.
No. And then. I like Bill Skarsgård stuff.
Yeah, he's cool.
Who else is that? Not really anyone, but yeah, pretty good. But we watched Obsession, Nathan.
We watched Obsession. So good.
So good.
So freaky.
I was stopped thinking about it.
Dude, it is. Yeah, it is kind of one of those movies that sticks with you for a little bit, and I love those.
Yeah.
It was very fun watching Obsession. And then Backrooms the next day.
What a great weekend.
I know. I was like, I'm going to get freaked out or something. Dude, Obsession, or one more thing about Backrooms is when we got back home, we turned on our lights and I'm like, this room's a lot more yellow than I remember. And it was like kind of
some lights be like that.
Yeah, dude, they are. But yeah, Obsession is like really, really good. I didn't really know much going into this. I think I saw a trailer like once a long time ago.
As soon as I saw a trailer, I like skipped it because I just heard the hype, you know? So I went into it like, 95% blind.
Yeah. But very well acted, fun idea, kind of in general.
Cool concept.
I feel like
great scenes, you know?
Oh my God. So many good scenes that are very unsettling. And I think what this movie does well is that it it knows that it could give you a cheap jump scare at like any point, really. Uh-huh. And it's very selective on when it does.
We just happened to watch it in like the loudest movie theater of all time.
And I think that helped with me being like, oh shit. Like my shoulders were like tense kind of the whole time. Once shit starts to like hit the fan and I'm like, fuck, dude, something. Cause it feels like she could just show up whenever, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, was she going to be super weird? And
which is credit to the movie, not the theater, but
credit. Yeah. For sure. A lot of really just like big needle drops. Like the first, when I was like, oh fuck, this is like a really big problem, is when she like taped the door shut.
Yeah. Spoilers.
I was like,
what the fuck is that? I'm like, that's multiple rolls of duct tape.
Yeah. I was like, you just had that? But yeah. Really, I like that people just know about this like One Wish Wonder thing. Or like,
is that like a real thing?
I don't think it's a real thing. Okay. But
I'm like, I can totally see that in like a Cracker Barrel or something.
Yeah. I like that it's just accepted that it works and there are people that are like, yeah, I mean, you made the wish. Like, what did you expect?
I mean,
kind of deal.
People at the store or whatever would be like, I already used my wish. You know?
So yeah. Like, and she's like, what did you do? And he's like, I wish that she loved me. And he's like, well, that's not so bad. And like, I just like that no one's like, oh my God, it actually worked kind of deal. Unless like you, at least the people that work there, or like you can call the people on the phone and be like, your wish is a, you know, like they're just explaining it like it's a very normal thing.
The most nonchalant customer service.
Yeah, something about that is what I like.
Yeah, it was just insanely casual. Like there was so many parts of this that were really funny, but they weren't like comedy moments, you know? It was just like the ridiculousness of some of the scenes like were funny and were like almost like you almost were laughing off some of like the crazy stuff that was happening, you know?
Yeah. Like I think the party where they were doing the Jenga or whatever, that's like a good point where she's like the frowny face. The frowny face emoji. I think that releases like some tension because it's like supposed to be like not really scary, but it's supposed to like freak you out. But it's kind of a funny thing that she's doing in general. So kind of like I feel like that tension almost like got released. And then she starts, spoilers, hitting herself in the face with one of the bricks. And then it's like, shit, yeah, she's here it goes again. It's very awkward again, you know.
That's one of those scenes that doesn't happen a lot, but it's like other people in the movie know that the main character is like not
well.
Like, well, not like lying about what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, now people can relate. Maybe something can happen, but like nothing's solved, you know, nothing gets better necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
People just know she's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of like a social horror in a way.
Yeah, there was like a social like Republic embarrassment horror in this. I'm like,
totally
shut the fuck up. I'm like, oh, okay, let's get back to this.
Yeah, that's part of it. And you know, the main character in this, he like fumbles the bag.
He makes
so much
poor choices, but he also like some of the choices he didn't know were gonna have like these kind of consequences, and he also, like, I think he was really just scared of the situation that he's in and kind of felt helpless. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I don't know, being in like a situation where you really don't know the way out of it is kind of like
that's stressful in and of itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think like, well, one, like the reason that this like whole thing happens is because you just couldn't be uncomfortable in like a very normal social situation. But I feel like he was teed up to the point where it was like, she even like asked you straight up, like, I'm going to leave in 2 weeks. So even if you say like, yeah, you do like me, and it doesn't go well, you don't have to worry about it after like 2 weeks, you know, like
I've definitely
the
been
situation
in like
he was teed up to.
I've been in a situation where like I've thought about how something should play out and it's almost like served up for you to, all you got to do is say the right thing.
Yeah. And then you still don't.
But you still don't because you, I don't know, you think like the moment's going to come back almost.
Yeah.
Like I almost whiffed like my proposal. You know, I'm like, maybe there'll be a better time. Like maybe don't do it right now. You know, but then like.
But aren't you glad that you got the fucking nuts to go do it?
Yeah.
You
know, the first opportunity.
The moral of this movie is like, grow some fucking nuts, dude. And Yeah. I think that's interesting. Because, like, you don't... It seems like he has his best intention up until, like, a certain point where I'm like, okay, this guy actually sucks kind of deal.
Yeah. But it's just... I think I get excited about these things because they're able to do, like, so much and, like, it was so well thought out.
Yeah, I think so.
Prior to making it, and they were able to make it for, like, so cheap, which is something you're just able to do with horror sometimes.
Yeah, they're just really creative with their budget and like, just their, like, makeup and just stuff like
rock
that.
Solid writing, you know?
Yeah, because nobody ever makes a decision where I'm like, oh, that would never happen necessarily. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
well, it's really cool. Well, I don't know if you see this crazy girlfriend, I don't know if you text that dude that night and ask him to meet up, you know? That seems a little like, don't do that.
What part?
When
he said he wanted just him alone?
Yeah, to meet in her car.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, why the fuck would you do that?
Yeah, that seems like a bad idea.
And he's like, just supposed to leave? I'm like, how's he supposed to get out?
That part really fucking stressed me out. Anytime that he was like supposed to sleep with her, I'm like, fuck, dude. I think this movie brought up some traumas that I have had personally.
Totally.
With not even like that this character in the movie is like a toxic ex because she's like possessed or whatever. But there's just like something that connects with me in a way that I don't even fully comprehend where I was like, he's like trapped.
You're like,
he's not trapped. He could like leave, but in a way he's like kind of trapped.
You're like walking on eggshells. Like,
yeah, totally.
The whole time.
You don't want anything that you do that is like pretty normal to do. Like text a platonic friend that just happens to be of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
Like that scene, you and I think both were like, she's going to see that he's texting a girl and then fucking rip his eyes out or something.
Yeah.
And like things like that, I think are really freaky.
So what I kind of understood was like, I've been in like a situation to where I, like, even if I tried to just be so objective in like ending like a relationship, it was almost like that wasn't an option because then if I like had that conversation, then it turns into like, I'm not trying enough or I wasn't like willing to fight for the relationship or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when I just know it's like a lost cause, it's almost like I couldn't get out of it still.
Yeah.
You know, to where like I just had to wait it out to where like she decides to leave kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but it was a situation where like I was just so it was like too advantageous to be in a relationship with me because of like where I was living and stuff like that.
Sure.
And so she didn't want to get out of it because she like wanted to stay in it for
the benefits.
Yeah. Yeah, but then it's just this toxicity like all around it, and so it doesn't feel like you can do anything. Mm. You know, and then there I guess there he could have been a little bit more thought out, like how he gets out of this. You know, I think they show it and they kind of describe like he tried everything he could, but I'm like I feel like you could go to like a random guy on the street and then like try and get him to use his wish or whatever.
And I think, do you think that would have worked?
No,
in this universe that they've set up, like maybe,
like I think
she's
the way it was written and the way thing plays out makes for a better movie. Yeah. You know, and you can't like logic bomb things too much,
right?
Because then there's just no movie. Yeah,
but I think the way that they approached it was like, oh, the guy's like, my friend's obviously going insane, so to show him that this isn't real, I'm gonna spoilers wish for $1 billion.
Yeah,
and then he gets $1 billion and I'm like, I would probably do that.
Dude, I saw a clip of them filming that,
and how do they do it?
It's people like on like ladders and they're just dropping like boof, like they're just only drop. I'm like, so they didn't have $1 billion?
How many
people
did they have dropping?
Two. And it wasn't like buckets. I think they added a lot post of just a lot of it falling.
Oh, they just like kind of take the same.
I don't really know. But
I don't know the editing. It seems like they copied and pasted. Like,
it was
the
a fraction
bills.
Of the money falling.
Damn.
You know?
I wish I had $50.
Such a waste.
That's cool. Yeah. And then, you know, there's a lot of stuff in here that are just like, I think they do a good job of building up to like crazy shit. Like at the beginning, it's just like she tapes the door shut or she like stands there and shits herself or whatever. And I'm like, that's pretty crazy. And then it builds up and builds up and builds up to where, you know, people's heads are getting smashed in. And I think the, like, one of the most interesting decisions is that Bear decides, he's like, I need to get out of this. And he wants to kill himself, but he's still too much of a bitch to do it, like, with a gun. And he tries to take the easy way out the other way by taking, like, a bunch of pills.
And then he also backs out of that, trying to, like, gag himself.
Yeah, and then he tries to back out of that, too. And I'm like, this guy is just grow a fucking... commit to anything.
Very spineless.
You know what I mean? And I think that's such an interesting... It's a very interesting character, because I'm sure this is, like... Like, I know people like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a great ending, too.
Yeah, it was a great ending, because it's interesting that, you know, he became the one possessed... as well for like a little bit, and then how it resolves, I think, works for the movie.
You know, I didn't like that his friend like just gets shot.
Yeah, why?
You know, I'm like, he didn't even need to like show up there.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, you saw the $1 billion.
Where'd she get a gun? You know?
I think it was supposed to be like grandma's gun or something. Maybe. I think there's a gun there.
Was that supposed to be like his grandma's like old apartment or something?
I think it's his grandma's house that he like kind of is living in, or just like kind of keeping up with, because it's like there's like an old VCR TV in there.
I thought that was just for vibes.
No, dude, those are hard to find now.
VCRs?
Yeah. You know why? It's because people that play Super Smash Brothers Melee, like the best quality with like the least delay is to play that game on a VCR.
I thought it was to play it on like the old TVs or something.
Sorry, CRT TV.
Oh.
So he has a CRT TV is what I meant.
Okay.
And so it's like those, yeah. Anyway,
like
those
the
are
ones
hard to
that
find
like would be SpongeBob themed or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like the least amount of, so like professional Super Smash Bros. Melee tournaments, they need to have CRT TVs, which like aren't even being made commercially anymore. So you kind of have to like get them from Goodwill and shit.
Dude,
or
those,
just on the side.
The
side
graphics
of the road.
On those are so bad, like they're all like 9-bit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so like it's crazy that there'd be like a lag with that. I'm like, what is it loading, you
yeah,
know?
Exactly. Do you remember when you'd like turn on those TVs and there's like a bit of static that you could feel?
Mm-hmm.
I miss that.
I mean, sometimes it like would just kind of always have static, it seemed.
Yeah,
like even when it was on.
So anyway, I think that's because it was set in like modern day, right? They're like texting each other on iPhones and shit. So yeah, I think this is supposed to be like his grandma's place. Mm-hmm. He's hanging out at. Anyway, really, really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
It deserves the success that it's getting for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I've just been getting like nonstop skits
from the dude.
Yeah, I can't remember what their YouTube channel is called, but
yeah, I don't know.
It's like
I've seen some of the stuff, his stuff though. I just hope that
I guess he's got like an hour long horror movie on YouTube, and then he's also got like another. He's got like a bunch of like shorts on like YouTube, and so
yeah.
It's kind of like a proof of concept thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
do you think that's how this industry is going to go? But it seems like it's following the same business model of like up and coming artists, like music artists.
Yeah,
where it's like you have to post your own stuff independently if you want to get like you're not just going to get some dude out of film school unless you have like a following of people. It seems
so
like
he got like some sort of grant or something to make it, and then a lot of indie movies will just go to like film festivals, and he went to like the Toronto one.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that was shown there, that's when they had like the bidding war and whatnot, and whoever ended up, was this A24 or
no.
Like, whoever the fuck like ended up picking it up. But it there's a lot of like even well-known filmmakers or like actors or something will do some kind of small budget and hoping that it gets picked up for distribution,
right.
You know?
It just seems like that's moving more towards like YouTube stuff. And I wonder if that'll...
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's necessarily
like a
standard way that you break in.
Yeah,
you know?
No, but it seems like now as at least for up and coming artists, like you have to have to get a label. You have to like be huge on TikTok or whatever.
Yeah.
And you have to get a viral thing on TikTok before you even get like the chance. So I wonder if that'll happen.
And make like, and you can make shit on your phone. So
yeah,
like
true.
Anyone could be like a filmmaker.
Yeah, I guess that's true. The more accessible that something is.
Which I'm cool with rather than like, you know, studios thinking that they always have the best ideas, you know, and.
That's true. So you think net positive?
Huh?
You think it's like a net positive that's kind of moving in this direction?
Yeah. I mean,
we've seen a lot of good shit, it feels like, this year.
I'd probably be happier just watching like a lot of potential from like low budget things in indie movies than like some super high budget piece of shit.
True. Yeah. That's just interesting. There's a lot of examples of it. So,
yeah.
Anyway, good movie.
What are we reading next week, Nathan?
What are we gonna read next week?
Supergirl.
Woman of Tomorrow.
Yeah. She's not built for the present anymore.
Yeah. Tomorrow, she's a woman.
She's gonna be woman tomorrow. she's turning 18.
Tom King. Bilkis Everly?
Yeah, I don't know how to say it. Bilkis sounds right.
Yeah, I guess.
And a colorist, Jordy.
Is it Jordy?
It's either Jordy or
Dave?
No.
No?
Dave Gibbons?
Dave Stewart.
Dave Stewart, I mean? No, I think.
Dave Gibbons would be wild.
No, Dave Gibbons is the Watchmen guy, right?
Yeah.
Matt Hollingsworth, I think?
Huh. Matt Lopez.
Oh, Matthews Lopez. Yeah, of course.
Is it Matthews?
Yeah.
It just says Matt on here. Oh, Matthews, yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't count his own letters.
The goat. Yeah.
All right.
For the Supergirl movie.
Sounds good. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Email in. Tell us if you're the biggest Lobo fan. What's the best Lobo run?
Yeah. Are we bastiches or whatever? What does that mean?
I know that I saw like a fat like compendium at the comic shop.
For just Lobo stuff?
Just Lobo stuff.
Oh, wow.
It was fucking thick, dude. It had the same cover as this.
Oh, that's neat.
And so I was... It looks like a cool thing to have if you like that.
For vibes.
You know?
I would have that performatively, I think.
Surely it's got to be more than... Like
these eight
progresses
issues.
Like, you know, story-wise. Mm-hmm. But email in trimmerspot@gmail.com. And goodbye.
All right, bye.